A Contra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
So today we're looking at, basically the modern rule book for building really massive companies. And it turns out the rules have changed
a lot.
They really have.
We're diving into blitzscaling, the lightning fast strategy for market dominance, by Reid Hoffman and Chrisio.
And this is such a critical topic right now because, you know, all that traditional business school stuff, move slow, optimize everything, focus on efficiency.
Yeah, the careful, steady approach.
It's just, well, it's often obsolete. It's just too slow for today's world. I mean, everything's digital, hyper-connected. Competitors can copy you in, like, weeks.
That speed, that's the whole point, isn't it? The urgency. Yeah. You look at the huge companies from the last, say, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't necessarily the most efficient at the start, not at all. They were the fastest. Speed and grabbing market share, that right. was everything. So that's the tension we're exploring today, really.
Mm.
When is moving fast, maybe breaking a few things, the only way to win.
Right. And our mission here is to define blitzscaling. It's not just, you know, growing fast is a very specific strategy. It's about deliberately prioritizing speed over efficiency, even when things are really uncertain.
Okay.
And the whole goal, it's to grab what they call the first scalar advantage. Get so big, so fast with those network effects that nobody else can possibly catch up. You want global dominance.
Okay, so who's giving us this pretty radical advice? Let's unpack Reid Hoffman a bit.
Yeah, he's one of the few people who's really seen hyper growth from like every single angle.
He co-founded LinkedIn, right? So yeah. He actually led a company through that insane, chaotic growth phase himself. He lived it.
And it wasn't just running the show. He saw the high stakes money side too. He was part of the, the famous PayPal mafia.
Oh, right. So he had a front row seat to one of the earliest, fastest scaling battles in tech.
Absolutely. Then he flipped sides, sort of, became a top VC, a partner at Greylock.
And started advising and funding other companies doing the exact same thing, like Facebook, Airbnb, during their most critical moments.
So what makes his view so unique is he's been the founder, the exec running the show, the big investor putting money in, and the theorist. I mean, the book actually came out of his Stanford class.
Wow, okay.
So he didn't just watch it happen. He actually thought about it, structured it, codified this whole strategy. It's like modern market warfare.
That mix of hands-on experience and like academic thinking is pretty powerful.
Definitely.
So let's get to the core argument.
Okay.
The main idea is simple, but it's also, well, it really challenges basic management ideas, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because blitzscaling, he says, is only for specific markets. These winner-take-all or winner-take-most situations.
Meaning
markets driven by really strong network effects. You know, where the first company to get big enough basically locks everyone else out. Think social media, marketplaces.
Right. The more people use it, the better it gets, creating a moat.
Exactly. But here's the really controversial part. The book argues you have to accept massive inefficiency in the short term, chaos, burning through cash.
Which sounds completely reckless to a traditional manager.
Yep.
Right. Accept chaos, burn money. Isn't that just bad management disguised as a gamble?
Well, it is a gamble. A huge one. But they argue it's a calculated risk. And in these specific markets, it might even be a defensive necessity.
How so?
Because if the cost of not getting big fast enough is becoming totally irrelevant, well, then maybe those short-term messes, the inefficiencies, the cash burn, maybe they aren't failures.
But
maybe they're actually strategic investments. The price you pay to build that unbeatable market position, that moat.
So the chaos is kind of intentional. Or at least accept it. It answers that big question.
Yeah.
How do you build a global giant from nothing super fast?
Yeah. And the answer is you've got to hit the gas before everything's perfect, before the business model is totally optimized, maybe even before you're profitable.
You can't just do this anywhere, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned specific conditions.
Absolutely not. You can't blitzscale, say, a restaurant chain. The basic model doesn't support it. You need certain growth factors baked in.
And the biggest one is network effects, you said.
That's the absolute key. If your product gets fundamentally better, the more people use it, like a social network or a payment system that creates this exponential growth curve, that's what justifies the huge risk.
Makes sense. What else?
You also generally need high gross margins. Software is the classic example here. If adding one more customer costs you basically nothing,
then all the money you could have saved by being super efficient on production.
Right. You can just pump it straight back into getting more customers, faster distribution, growth feeds growth. Every new user is like pure fuel.
Got it. And you need ways to reach millions quickly, right?
Yeah.
Scalable distribution, viral loops, maybe platform partnerships, something that doesn't involve building a new factory each time.
Exactly. But just as important as what helps you scale are the things that can stop you cold, the limiters.
Okay, what are those?
Two main ones. First, lack of product market fit. They call this the gassy problem.
Yeah, okay. What's that mean?
It means you're trying to scale something that deep down people don't actually want or need that badly. Maybe only a tiny group loves it.
So you're just pouring fuel on a fire that won't catch, building something huge and expensive that's fundamentally flawed.
Precisely, a big expensive mess. The second limiter is the lack of operational scalability. This is the cliffs problem.
What's the problem?
Yeah, this is when your internal systems, your servers, your customer support, your supply chain, whatever, just can't handle the growth. They break.
Ah, so the demand is there, the product goes viral maybe, but the company itself just collapses under the weight.
Exactly. You fly right off the cliff. The
Yeah.
opportunity is huge, but you fumble it because the operations couldn't keep up.
So managing that chaos, even tolerating some fires, that's key. You mentioned PayPal earlier.
Yeah, that's a classic example. Early PayPal, they were in this brutal fight with eBay's own payment system. They needed market share fast.
So what do they do?
They spent insane amounts of money getting users, like just giving money away. And at the same time, they had rampant, crippling financial fraud, a huge operational fire, just burning cash.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Massively inefficient.
Totally disastrous from a purely operational view, but strategically, they had to do it. They accepted those huge losses, the internal chaos, that they essentially let the fraud fire burn.
Because getting big first was the only thing that mattered, becoming the standard.
That was the bet. Win the market first, fix the efficiency later. That trade-off, speed over efficiency, that's the blitzscaling mindset in a nutshell.
Okay, so you commit to this path, then the company itself has to change dramatically, right? Through different stages.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where so many companies stumble. Because the founder's job, what they need to do, it changes completely at each stage.
Walk us through those stages.
Okay, the book lays out five rough phases. Stage one is the family stage. Just a handful of people, maybe 1 to 9 employees. Focus is pure survival, finding that initial product market fit.
Got it. Just getting the idea off the ground.
Then you grow into the tribe stage, maybe tens of employees. Now the founder has to stop doing everything themselves. They shift from doer to manager, building the core team, setting the initial culture.
Still relatively small, manageable.
Right. But the next jump is huge, often the hardest, the village stage. Now you're talking hundreds of employees.
And things start breaking down without structure.
Exactly. Pure chaos if you don't adapt. The founder can't manage everyone anymore. They have to become a real executive. They need to delegate whole functions, not just tasks. And crucially, start building scalable systems and processes.
So less hands-on, more architecting the organization itself.
Think of it like the founder stops being the foreman actually building the house and has to become the city planner, designing the roads, the infrastructure, the zoning, making sure the whole system can handle growth without gridlock. Bureaucracy becomes the enemy.
Okay, that makes sense. What's after village?
If you survive that transition, you hit the city stage, thousands of employees. Now you're likely managing multiple products, maybe building a whole platform or ecosystem, going global. It's complex.
Managing internal complexity while still fighting external battles.
And then potentially the nation stage, tens of thousands of employees. Plus, at this point, you're not just a company, you're basically a global institution.
Wow.
Yeah, now you're worried about legacy, regulation, public image, societal impact. It's a whole different game.
And failing to make those mental shifts as a leader at each transition point, that's fatal.
Often, yes, it kills so many promising high-growth companies. Which brings us back to the core idea. This isn't just about moving faster. It requires a fundamentally different mindset.
Right, which leads nicely into the key themes. The first one seems obvious, but it's foundational. Speed is a competitive weapon.
Absolutely. Being the first to scale, not just the first to invent, creates these powerful moats, network effects, data advantages, becoming the default standard, things that even a better product arriving later might struggle to overcome.
So it challenges that old saying, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door.
Pretty much. In these specific markets, the standard product that got big first often wins, even if it wasn't initially the best.
Okay, theme two.
Embracing imperfection and chaos is tough for a lot of people. You have to consciously move away from perfectionism, leaders have to triage ruthlessly, meaning you actively decide not to fix some problems. You let the small, non-critical fires burn so you can focus every resource on the huge opportunities or the truly existential threats.
That's a hard mental shift, tolerating messiness.
Uh-huh.
It makes me think, like, even in personal life, right? Learning a new skill. Is it better to jump in, be messy, practice rough, even if you only grasp 60%?
Yeah.
Or wait until you've read the whole manual, achieved 100% theoretical mastery before you even start? Blitzscaling definitely argues for jumping in messy.
It does, which ties into the third theme, counterintuitive management. A lot of standard business, wisdom, stability, predictability, efficiency first is actually harmful during blitzscaling.
So what are the counterintuitive rules?
Things like hiring for the now, getting people who can solve today's fire, even if you know you'll probably need to replace them with someone different in 18 months when the company is twice the size.
Ouch. That sounds brutal, but maybe necessary for speed.
And raising way more capital than you think you need, like shock and awe amounts, not just for operations, but as a strategic weapon to signal to competitors and the market that your victory is inevitable.
These sound like radical principles, but maybe necessary when the stakes are winner take all.
Exactly. And that's why the book is packed with these really punchy, memorable quotes or ideas that capture these concepts.
Okay, let's hit a few of those.
Well, the classic one, reflecting that idea of speed over perfection, is if you are not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you've launched too late.
Huh. I love that. Forget the perfect launch. Get it out, learn, iterate fast.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that management triage idea we talked about.
Let fires burn, which sounds negligent, but it's really about intense focus.
Yeah.
Right?
It's strategic focus, not carelessness. When you're doubling every year, you literally can't fix everything. So you only fight the fires that could actually burn the whole house down. Ignore the small stuff, consciously.
Makes sense. And the last one, summing up the overall strategy.
First mover advantage is a tactic. First scaler advantage is a strategy.
Ah, okay. So being first with the idea is nice, but it's not enough.
Right. It might get you some initial buzz. But it's the ruthless, effective scaling becoming the dominant player that actually creates lasting leadership and value. Execution during hypergrowth is everything.
So thinking about real-life applications, who is this most useful for? Obviously founders, VCs.
Definitely them. But also I think for managers and even employees inside these high-growth companies, it's kind of a survival guide.
Oh, so?
Understanding the stages helps you anticipate the chaos. You know, when the culture starts feeling weird or the IT systems are overloaded, you realize, okay, this isn't necessarily bad management. It's a predictable growing pain of this specific strategy.
It helps frame the chaos, maybe makes it more tolerable.
Exactly. And it helps you understand how your own role might need to evolve as the company rockets through those stages.
And we can't forget that principle. Do things that don't scale. You mentioned Airbnb.
Yeah, the famous story. Early days, bookings were slow. They figured out the problem was the terrible amateur photos hosts were uploading.
Okay, makes sense. Bad photos, low trust, fewer bookings.
So what did Hoffman and Chesky, the founders, do? They literally flew to New York, rented a good camera, and went door to door taking professional photos of their first host's apartments themselves.
That sounds incredibly inefficient. Totally unscalable.
Completely, the definition of it. But that manual, hands-on, unscalable effort dramatically improved the listings. It built trust, kickstarted the marketplace liquidity.
And proved the core concept. That initial inefficiency unlocked the later massive scaling.
Precisely. It was a strategic investment in learning and quality, disguised as inefficiency.
So for you listening, the book really offers a kind of diagnostic tool, doesn't it?
I think so. It helps you analyze a situation, maybe in your job, your industry, even a personal project, and decide, is this a situation where a high risk, high speed, maybe messy approach is actually the right move?
Or is the traditional path, slow, steady, optimized growth, still the better way to go? Knowing when to apply which playbook is key.
Absolutely.
For me, what really stood out, what surprised me, was just how directly it attacks that modern business obsession with efficiency. We're all taught optimization is king.
Mm-hmm.
But the big lesson here is that business rules are totally context dependent. There's no single right answer. In the right market with the right model, being strategically inefficient, prioritizing speed above all else, That's not failure. That's how you win.
Yeah, that context dependency is crucial. And it raises a really important point, I think, especially now, a kind of epilogue to blitzscaling.
What's that?
Responsible blitzscaling, because these companies that succeed, they end up with enormous power, right? Over data, markets, even public conversation.
True, they become utilities, almost.
Yeah. So the leaders building them need to think about the ethical implications, the societal impact, not as an afterthought, but like from day one. Because the speed and scale amplify everything, good and bad.
That's a really critical point. Responsibility has to scale with a company.
Yeah.
Okay, so a final provocative thought then for you, the listener.
Go for it.
Should we take this blitzscaling mindset, you know, speed over perfection, tolerating some messiness to get ahead quickly, and apply it to other parts of life, like learning new skills or maybe making a big career change?
Interesting question.
Or is that kind of high-risk, high-speed recipe really only suited for these hyper-competitive billion-dollar market battles?
Something to think about on your own journey, perhaps.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.